Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, we'll talk about Ryan Pepiot signing with the Boris Corp as his agents and what that might mean for the future. And then we will have the second half of my conversation with Dodgers pitching prospect John Rooney. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. I am Jeff Snyder, Baseball Essential, and this is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Flying solo today for the beginning, and then, like I said, I will have John Rooney with me for the last two-thirds of this episode. Vince and I may do an episode together tomorrow. We'll see what tomorrow brings. I want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. So, the Boris Corporation, Scott Boris's agency, announced on Instagram today that they have, acquired, Ryan Pepiot, Dodgers pitching prospect Ryan Pepiot, friend of the show, former guest on this podcast. Ryan Pepiot has signed on with the Boris Corp for them to be his agency. I don't even know how this wording works, so maybe I should have thought about that before I hit record, but I didn't. So one way or another, Scott Boris now works for Ryan Pepiot as his agent. And there was a lot of hand-wringing about this on Twitter. Anytime you say Scott Boris's name, people get concerned. There are, and they're well-founded concerns. Scott Boris is definitely the most famous agent in baseball. And the fact is, the Dodgers haven't signed many Boris clients. Most recently, Corey Seager left the Dodgers, his first chance in free agency. He is a Boris client. And whether that was because he's a Boris client or not is, you know, I think a lot of people have different opinions on that. So I just want to kind of talk a little bit about what this might mean for the future with Ryan Pepiot specifically. And just Boris in general. And the most important thing I think to remember here is that Ryan Pepiot will not be a free agent for many years. The way that Major League Baseball's system is set up, even if they make adjustments to free agency in this new CBA that they're currently fighting over, it's not going to be such a drastic change that it will, you know, Pepiot, even if he makes his big league debut in 2022, and even if the CBA changes things, it's still like at least 5 years away. And more realistically, it's probably more like 7 years away before Pepiot is a free agent. And that's the first time that it will really matter that Scott Boris is Ryan Pepiot's agent when he hits free agency. At that point in time, could it matter? It might. And I think, though, sometimes people get the cause and the effect mixed up with each other a little bit. Like I said, Scott Boris works for Ryan Pepiot. Even though Scott Boris is more famous than Ryan Pepiot, has more money than Ryan Pepiot, all of that, an agent works for a player. And so ultimately, when Ryan Pepiot or any other Boris client hits free agency, it is up to the player if he has multiple contract offers, it's up to the player which one he takes. The agent's job is to get the best offers he or she can, in this case, I'll say he because we're talking about Boris, to get the best offers he can, to present them to his client, to advise his client, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, some of that advice is, remember, you have a duty to your fellow union members to, take the best deal possible because that will trickle down to other players. You know, it'll mean something. You're setting precedents for other free agents, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, there's that advice there. But, you know, all those players are getting that same advice from their agents. It's just that Scott Boris, for whatever reason, is the best or the most prolific at getting the big offers. And even that, there's a cause and effect thing. You know, does Boris get the biggest offers and that's why he signs the best clients? Or does Boris get the best offers because he has the best players as clients? You know, Corey Seager got a huge contract because Corey Seager is a really good baseball player, and that's why Scott Boris wanted Corey Seager as a client. You know, Cody Bellinger used to be with a different agency. back when Cody Bellinger was in AA, he was a guest on the Scully Avenue podcast, mine and Vince's podcast before Locked On Dodgers. Cody was a guest on our podcast because I had a good relationship with Cody's agency at the time. And you know, he was in the minors. He wasn't a big name. We got him on. And then it was within a few months after that, he switched to the Boris Corp when he started realizing, you know, he was a big prospect. And now, you know, when Cody does hit free agency, Dodgers will have to contend with the fact that, he is a Boris client. But ultimately, what we need to remember is the reason that players sign with Boris is because Boris is good at getting them a lot of money. And so it's not that the Dodgers don't deal well with Boris or whatever it is. It's that the Dodgers, at least lately, their MO is mostly to not give these huge record-setting contracts. You know, Bryce Harper got 13 years, although there were some rumors that Boris actually advised Harper to take the shorter term, bigger average annual value offer from the Dodgers. And Harper chose to go with the long-term instead. Who knows if that's accurate, but you know, Anthony Rendon got a big contract from the Angels. Garrett Cole got a huge contract from the Yankees, longer than the Dodgers wanted to go. The Dodgers don't necessarily give those huge contracts to free agents. And when you sign with Scott Boris, what you're saying is, I want to go to free agency and I want to get a lot of money. And so that is why the Dodgers don't necessarily sign very many Boris clients, is because Boris's mode of approaching free agency doesn't really match up with the Dodgers' mode of approaching free agency, if that makes sense. So the most important thing to remember as it pertains to Ryan Pepiot is this is years away. Right now, it's meaningless. It doesn't affect when Pepiot makes the big leagues. I guess it could have a minor effect, you know, if the, because Boris clients generally don't take early long-term extensions. And so, you know, the Dodgers could maybe play some of those service time games with Pepiot. Dodgers don't do a lot of those service time games, but all teams do it at least to some extent. But other than that, it's not really going to have any impact for several years. And so it's nothing for us to worry about. And ultimately, you know, just because a player is a Boris client doesn't mean he's not going to sign with the Dodgers. It just means, you know, the Dodgers' approach to free agency might not match up with that player's approach and Scott Boris's approach. So anyway, that's all I'm going to say about that. That's kind of the only thing passing for Dodgers news right now. So I'm going to come back in a minute and we're going to do the last two thirds of my conversation with Dodgers pitching prospect John Rooney. Really enjoyed talking to him. And so I hope you enjoy the last half of my conversation with him. So keep it locked on Dodgers. Hey, let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is delicious. It's nutritious. It's low fat, low calorie, low sugar, low carbs, and also high in protein. And did I mention delicious? They're delicious. There's a ton of different flavors. If you don't know what kind of Built Bar you like, go to their website, look, see what looks like it might be interesting, and order a couple. Or order a mix box, and you'll get two of a bunch of different flavors. You can see what you like, and then you know how to drill down and really buy what you like the next time. But I promise you, you're going to find something you like. And whether you're trying to build muscle or lose weight, or you just want a snack that is delicious and doesn't make you feel guilty, Built Bar is the way to go. Right now, you're eating a lot of delicious stuff at Christmas time. Add Built Bar to that mix. And guess what? When New Year's resolutions roll around and you're trying to get fit, you can keep eating the Built Bars because they are awesome. So go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you will get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, I want to thank you all for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and let's jump back into my conversation from yesterday with Dodgers pitching prospect John Rooney. As a lefty, when you weren't pitching, where what were you, center fielder, first baseman?
Oh, first base. Yeah, there's not much you can put, not a lot of places you can put lefties. It's first base or, you know, outfield. So they're not going to put me in outfield to track down balls.
I don't speed have is the, not your game, huh?
Have the speed. I have the speed velocity wise, but you put me, you know, sprinting, I'm not going to do the job for you. I'm sorry.
It's remarkable to me. I've commented on this before. Like, pitchers are obviously great athletes and stuff, and yet every single one of them, when they're running the bases, they look like a giraffe that's just been shot. Like,
I got a hell of a video for you of me. I mean, I've hit in high school. It's me. Like, I just been shot running around first base. It's not good, but I got it.
Yeah, when Rich Hill left the Dodgers, people were so sad. Well, we can't see him run the bases anymore. I'm like, there's plenty of YouTube videos of people doing things they're not good at, man. You don't need to see Rich Hill run to the bases.
I want my chance though. I want to get that AB. I really do. Cause I know I didn't play. I'm, it may sound ridiculous, but I'm confident I can get the job done. I really do.
Yeah, I think unfortunately for you, I think the universal DH is going to be around by the time you hit the big leagues.
I know. That's what I keep hearing. I'm disappointed. That'd been really
fun.
There
could still be a extra inning. You know, if they get rid of that stupid extra innings rule, you know, a 19 inning game, they might need a pinch hitter. You know, they'll probably just send you up there to bunt or something. But
I'm gonna swing out of my shoes in case I hit it. You know,
absolutely. That's the way to do it. So, you know, getting back to the present, you spent, you know, the part of the season that you did play in Double A last year. Are you expecting to start 2022 back in Double A to kind of finish that Double A experience? Has there been any talk with anybody in the Dodgers organization about what their plans are for you in that way?
You know, there really isn't a lot of talk about that. It's kind of just like a last week before spring training closes out. They tell you, they call you in. And I don't have any expectation between AAA or AA. Obviously, AAA would be great. But I understand my situation. Like, I didn't pitch a lot, didn't have a lot of innings. So hopefully I can, you know, if I do go to AA, I can just be lights out and then be fast-tracked up quickly. That's obviously the goal for everybody. But there really is no plans. And I still love going to Tulsa anyway. It's a fun city. It really is. So, yeah, I guess we'll see.
When you're, you know, as a minor leaguer, how much of your mindset, obviously you try to stay focused on controlling what you can control, et cetera, but how much are you aware of, okay, the Dodgers bullpen right now, you know, they might have openings here and here, you know, how much are you thinking about that major league roster and where you might fit into it?
I just look at the lefties. I see what the lefties got. I mean, being a lefty pitcher helps. There's a lot more, I guess openings or, you know, availability for lefty pitchers. So I see what those guys are doing. I really don't have much focus on anybody else. And I see where I stand with them stuff wise, what I bring to the table and what they bring to the table and what I can do to improve to get up there.
Do you, you know, the command issues we talked about where you were kind of adjusting to the new velocity and everything, is that something you feel like you have resolved? Are you confident that, you know, your first game of 2022, you're going to be, you know, keep the strikeouts without the walks, or do you still feel like it's a work in progress?
Honestly, the walks aren't even a thought in my mind right now. Like it's, I just know, like, I'm just so confident with my abilities that I know it's going to be something that just kind of pans out the way I want it to. Like, I think the more you think about something, the more pressure you put on it. Like, I just know if I work on the right things, the walks will go away by itself. And I have the, I guess having the right mentality going into the games is key for me.
The more some jerk on a podcast keep asking about the walks, the more you know, the more you have to think about it. So.
Yeah, it's true though. Yeah. You can't go up there and be like, please don't walk him. Please don't walk him. Because that's just the worst mentality. That's when things get worse. It's just like, okay, I'm going to strike you out and I'm going to get 0-1, 0-2 early and not get, you know, behind in the count.
So the Dodgers organization, you know, right now, especially their player development system is, you know, probably the best in baseball. Definitely, you know, one of the best in baseball. How much of, you know, when you talk about these improvements you've made as a pitcher, how much of that is through the organization, you know, and how much of it is on your own? Okay, you identifying things you need to do, or is it kind of a combination of the two?
I think a lot of it was though during the COVID seasons, like, that COVID season where I was home, just being able to kind of, I had one guy, his name's Mike McFerrin, and I had a strength coach, named Frank Miller. We went back and forth in the weight room and on the mounds, and it was really helpful for me, like, just to have that kind of tunnel vision through their coaching, which was great. I mean, the Dodgers helped me out big time, no matter what, like, they've been like huge. But I think that COVID season where I had just time to figure out what I needed to do explosive-wise, because I had to be a more explosive athlete, and movement-wise on the mound was just huge for me.
All right, let's take a quick break to talk about Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this holiday season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football continues its march through the College Bowl season and the Pro Football Playoffs. Bet Online remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. So don't wait to take advantage of all the new amazing offers available. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, one last time, thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. And now the finale of my conversation with John Rooney. When the Dodgers drafted you, you mentioned you played 3 years at Hofstra. So technically, going back to college was an option for you. Was there any thought to that, or was it, you know, third round? Yeah, Dodgers, I'm signing.
It's hard to play hardball your junior year. It's like, because you know those senior bonuses are just so much lower because you have no leverage. And obviously, I knew that, they knew that. So I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to take the Dodgers third round bonus. Like that's a no brainer. And I was so excited for that. I mean, that was a beautiful day when that happened. It's just crazy. That was 3 years ago now. Time flies.
Yeah. And then just a couple months later, your childhood favorite team played against your new team in the World Series. And
I'm Dodgers through and through now. I wasn't rooting for the Red Sox anymore. That's over with.
Yeah. My son, he used to tell me the Red Sox were his favorite team because red is his favorite color. This is like when he was 3 or 4 years old. And it wasn't until the 2018 World Series that he realized, you know, we were actually at game three, the 18 inning game when Muncy hit the walk-off home run in the 18th inning. I was there with my boys and, wow. and my son who was, he was seven at the time. And he said, yeah, Dad, the Dodgers are my favorite team. He realized then being that he's like, yeah, I can't pretend to be a Red Sox fan. We're a Dodgers family. So
that's a really proud dad moment. Oh, my God.
Yeah, when the Red Sox tied it up in the eighth inning, he turns to me, my little seven-year-old boy turns to me and says, Dad, if it goes to extras, are we staying for the whole thing? I said, yeah, this is a World Series game. We're staying. He's like, okay. Yeah. I had to give him a couple pep talks. But once it got to being officially the longest World Series game in history – then I told my boys, look, someday, 30 years from now, you're going to be watching the World Series on TV and some game's going to go to like the 12th inning and they'll pop a graphic up on the screen. It'll say the longest World Series game in history was game three of the 2018 World Series. And you'll turn to your kids and say, I was there and I stayed for the whole thing. And then they were pumped. So they were excited. We were still happy when it ended and happy that it ended with the Dodgers winning. But it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, the real fans stay for that. It's kind of like a walk of shame when you leave before the game ends, huh?
Yeah, and it was pretty impressive. There was still, you know, there were still probably 45,000 people in the stands when the game ended, and that was 7.5 hours later. So it was a good one. What's next in your evolution as a pitcher?
What's next? I mean, I can tell you what my focuses are for next year.
Yeah.
And that's just getting a lot more innings. Like, I think my problem last year was I saw that 3-inning cap that we had because of the COVID things. And I thought it was like, okay to go 3 or 4 or 5 and just kind of finish it off like that. But next year it's just to have that longevity, you know, go 7, give our bullpen, you know, some relief and just kind of eat up innings and be a dog for, you know, the rest of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, obviously I'm not going to let up on having that velocity and stuff because I know my body's now used to it. I'm not going to kind of play it safe because I mean, there's no time to play it safe when you're trying to be one of the best in the world. You know, you got to keep pushing it, pushing those limits. But, next year, the focus is, just being a pitcher again, instead of just trying to overthrow and have that stuff because stuff obviously plays and that's great. But if you're not actually pitching and putting it where it needs to be, the hitters are going to hit it regardless.
Yeah. Do you think there might be some silver linings to like kind of these lost seasons where, you know, you do have a little bit less mileage on the arm, maybe a little bit kind of let most of your pitches come here when you're in your peak where you've kind of figured things out?
Yeah. I mean, last year was definitely humbling because during COVID, like the COVID, like we had so many more regulations because of the at Tulsa. So I was bat boying most of the time. You know, it was a very humbling experience, you know, especially when the kids are saying, "Hey, bat boy, bat boy." I'm like, I'm a player. God. And that was when I was my lat for the rest of, I missed the rest of the season. It was heartbreaking, but it was for sure humbling. And I was definitely proud of the way I handled it. I knew I couldn't control anything about it. And I just kept working and doing what I could and not being, I think being a good teammate was the most important thing I could have done, and not being salty and being a bad energy guy in the locker room, because no one needs that during a long season. And then in COVID, learning that much about myself as a pitcher and making the adjustments I needed to do, those 2 years were great. So I'm going to, you know, take the good things out of what seems like a bad situation and just keep looking forward.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that that our listeners might need to know about you. What's the most interesting thing about you that I haven't asked yet?
You know what? I love music. I do. I love music. I've been playing guitar my whole life. My dad made me take lessons when I was a kid, and I was kind of mad at him at first because I didn't want to go, but I ended up loving it. I was in a band. I was in a band going out through high school with my brother and my friends, and now I record music. And not that good at recording yet, but I'm going to get there. I'll have something out eventually. You'll see.
Nice. I can't wait. That's awesome. What kind of music?
Oh, I love just alternative rock, stuff like that. Nothing. You're not going to hear me rapping and any songs, because that's not me.
Don't sell yourself short, John.
Oh, I'm not going to be rapping, I promise. But yeah, I do. I've always loved music and had appreciation for it. And also a big golf guy. I do love golf. Yeah, there's some info.
You got a guitar right there?
It's shipping out. When I didn't want to bring my stuff to you know, my friend Brian and Allie's place, because they don't want to hear that right now. It's their spot. I'm just trying to be courteous. So when I move in January to my new spot, I'll have my stuff out there. But I don't think they want to hear me singing in their place. They're going to want their space.
All right. Well, once you get your guitar, we'll have to have you back on, and you can do a concert for us here on the podcast.
A live audience. I'm down for it.
Absolutely. Well, John, this was fun. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me. It's always fun to get to know guys before they get to Dodger Stadium. And, you know, we're definitely looking forward to you showing up in LA and, you know, helping out the bullpen or the rotation or wherever it is. And, you know, hopefully a long Dodgers career.
Hey, I really appreciate you having me. Thank you. Yeah, hopefully we talk again soon sometime.
Yeah, anytime. All right, I want to thank John Rooney again for taking the time to talk with me. I really enjoyed that conversation. I'm looking forward to seeing him, watching his progression since he was drafted. I'm excited about him, whether it's as a bullpen arm or a starter in the future. I think his drive to be the best he can, I think he's going to be a good one for the Dodgers. So I really enjoyed talking with him. Great dude. Follow him on Twitter. His Twitter handle was up on the screen here on YouTube the whole time we were talking. Check him out there. And yeah, hopefully we'll see him at Dodger Stadium soon. Thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, check out Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms. If you're not listening to or watching Locked On Dodgers every day, I'd love it if you would add 1 or 2 days a month to your rotation. If you have friends or family who love the Dodgers as much as you do, tell them about the show. Maybe they will like it too. If you want to follow us on Instagram or Twitter, you can do that at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places, so you can reach out to us anytime you want. You can also email us at LockedOnDodgers@gmail.com, or you can shoot us a voicemail or a text message at 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.